I'll begin this morning with a reading from Shinran Shonin's Kyogyo Shinsho. This is the collection of writings that Shinran Shonin took from all the various Buddhist teachers that he felt captured the essence of the Buddha's wisdom and compassion in the Nembutsu. So I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegaishimasu. Single-heartedly practicing saying the name of Amida, Namo Amida Butsu, alone, whether walking, standing, sitting, or reclining, without regard to the length of time and without abandoning it from moment to moment, this is called the act of true settlement, for it is in accord with the Buddha's vow. Tada hitosuji ni Amida Butsu no Myōgo Namo Amida Butsu o tonaeru no である. Itsu ikanaru toki mo mata toki no chōtan o towazu tariki yakkō no nenbutsu o gyōjiru no o shōjōju toyu Amida Butsu no hongan ni shitagau kara である to nammanda butsu. Good morning, everyone. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. Thanks for joining us this Sunday. We are still in the month of January. We had a very special service last Sunday. It's in our Jodo Shinshu Buddhist calendar, perhaps the most significant Buddhist service of the year. Does anyone remember what the service we had last Sunday was? Yeah, do you remember, Dioma? It was the Hōnkō Memorial Service, right? Does anyone remember what Hōnkō is about? You just hear the name, you might not know. Do you know, Cole? It's about Shinran Shonin, that's right. It's Shinran Shonin's memorial service. So Shinran Shonin is the founder of our specific Buddhist tradition. Of course, the founder of Buddhism is the Buddha. But among Buddhism, we have many different schools of Buddhism, many different Buddhist traditions. And those are based on the teachers who have clarified those teachings. And the teacher who clarified our teachings was Shinran Shonin. And we have a portrait of him just to the right of the Buddha image. This gentleman here where there's a candle and some flowers, that's Shinran Shonin. And so this month of January, as we remember his life, we also think about and learn about the things that he did. And so this year, in January, we've been talking about a special place where Shinran lived from the age 9 to the age 29, the prime of his youth. He spent in this very special place studying and learning about Buddhism. Does anyone remember where that place was? Starts with Mount. Mount Hiei, that's right. Mount Hiei. Mount Hiei, it was a mountain monastery, and so it was a place that was a little bit different from everyday life, a place where they did very, very serious, very focused, and sometimes very difficult practices, trying to become enlightened, trying to gain true understanding. So last week, or not last week, but rather 2 weeks ago, we talked about certain rules that all Buddhists try to live by. Can anyone remember some of those rules that we talked about? Yeah, Dioma, do you remember one? Don't kill for fun. That's right. That's the first one. It's the first rule. No killing for enjoyment. No killing for fun. Does anybody remember another rule that we talked about? No, there were 10 of them. Okay, I'll read them now just to refresh your memory. So, no killing for enjoyment. No stealing. No foolish romantic relationships. No lying. No selling alcohol. No gossiping about others' faults, no praising oneself and putting down others, no refusing to share, no holding grudges and not accepting apologies, and no disrespecting the three treasures of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, right? And so we talked about how all Buddhists try to abide by these rules, but Buddhists who lived at Mount Hiei, like Shinran did, they were extra strict about trying to observe these rules, right? They took extra care to observe these rules. And we talked about that last week. If you'd like to know more about it, I'll put the podcast up. You can listen to it. Go to dharmalantern.com and you can listen to last week's Dharma talk. But I will carry on. It's actually dharmalantern.net. but I'll carry on now to talk about this week's topic, which is about concentration. So these rules are one of the three important aspects of the practice. One was discipline, or following these rules. The second one is concentration that we'll talk about this week. And then wisdom we'll talk about next week. And so concentration was an important part of Buddhist practice, and it continues to be, to have a focused mind. Have you ever spent your time just focusing on one activity? Have you ever gone to a summer camp that was just about, say, basketball or just about playing a musical instrument? Has anyone ever done something like that? Gone to a special camp or a special activity? Yeah, how about you, Phoebe? What sort of camp did you go to?
I went to this volleyball
every Friday you would go to volleyball, okay? Yeah, how about you, Doma? Okay, right. So you did a basketball camp, and every day you played basketball. And so when you do these camps, if you play volleyball or basketball or things like that, if you do it every day, all day, how do you get better at it? Okay, so you get, if you concentrate on something, if you try it, try doing something all day, every day, even for just one day. If you just do something all day, every day for one day, you'll find that maybe you learn something about it. You get better. And this is something that people do with sports or with other activities, with music. And this is also something that people do with Buddhist practice. Buddhist practice is like meditating. Buddhist practice is like meditating, right? And so there were many different kinds of practices and things that people did at Mount Hiei when Shinran was living there. There were many practices, and we don't know exactly the details of his life. He never wrote down exactly what he did, but fortunately for us, his wife, Eshini, we talk about Eshini once in a while, Shinran Shonin's wife, she, in a letter to their daughter, she described one day, she wrote her a letter talking just a little bit. She mentioned, your father was a doso in Mount Hiei, a doso. And so later, people found that letter and they said, a doso? Great, now we know what Shinran Shonin did. But then they said, what is a doso? Right? So they had to go back and look and study and find out, what did doso do? Well, it turns out that a doso was a hall monk, a monk who spent his time in a special hall for doing certain practices. And those practices that they did were called constant walking concentration. Constant walking concentration. In Japanese, it's called jōgyō zanmai. Constant walking concentration. Right? And it's described in a text called the Makashikan in Japanese, or Mōhōjikuan in Chinese. And that means stopping and seeing. Stopping and seeing. So Buddhist concentration has these two aspects. One is called stopping, that's shamatha, and the other one is called seeing or having insight. That's called vipassana, or vipassana, for those of you who are familiar with that. And so there's a vipassana movement in Buddhism today, and that's based on this idea of getting insight. But in order to do that, you first have to calm your mind. It's like, imagine you have a pond in your backyard, or even a baby pool. Does anyone have one of those kiddie pools in their house, or maybe had one before? Right? And so if the wind is blowing, you get little waves, right? There are little waves. And if there are little waves, can you see a reflection? No, you can just see the waves. But if the pond or the pool becomes very clear, have you ever seen a very calm lake that looks like a mirror, or a pond that looks like a mirror? When it's calm, you can see things very clearly. The mind is the same way. If your mind becomes calm, then it becomes like a mirror and you can see what is real and true. And this is one of the most important things that Buddhists try to do, concentrating the mind. And so in order to do that, in order to become very good at that, people at Mount Hiei would do these special practices. And one of those was called this constant walking, concentration. It would go on for 90 days, 3 months. 3 months they would do that. And it's based on instructions from a teacher called Juri. And he said, the period of practice is 90 days during which you only walk around. So they would have a special temple, and in the middle of that temple, just like our temple, there was a statue. What is this statue at the middle of our temple? Amida Buddha. That's right, Cameron. It's Amida Buddha. And they would walk around the statue for 90 days. They would walk around. And they would walk around always with the right shoulder facing the Buddha. That's the way to be respectful. Even if you read the old sutras, it talks about how when people would go to visit the Buddha, they would walk around him once with their right shoulder exposed, their left shoulder covered up. And that's because in traditional Indian society, the right hand, the right side is considered to be clean or pure. And so you always put that pure side towards the Buddha. And they would walk around. So they would do this for 90 days, walking around. And it said it's very important that you have a wise and enlightened teacher who is expert in inner and outer discipline, who knows all the rules both for your body but also the things for your heart and mind. To have this good teacher giving you instructions as you're doing this for 90 days. And it says, walking should not stop throughout the 3 months. You have to keep walking for 3 months. What's the longest you've ever gone for a walk? It's very long from here to Central Park. Those of you, did anybody come to the Terracoya and go for that walk all the way over to the park? That was a pretty long walk, wasn't it? If you came for Terracoya, yeah. Phoebe's saying, not that long. But think about that. How long did that take? It probably took maybe half an hour if you walked slowly. How about for 3 months? 3 months, constant walking. And it says you can stop. You can stop. For only three things. You can stop for meals, to sit down, to eat your food, because it's not polite to eat while you're walking, right? To use the restroom, of course, right? And to wash, right? Otherwise, you have to keep walking the whole time for three months. Yep, those are the only times you can stop. And as you're walking, the whole time your body is moving, right? You're walking, so you keep moving, and you're moving around the Buddha. So with your body, you're showing your respect for the Buddha by walking around this statue of the Buddha. So you're using your body to praise the Buddha. Yes, Phoebe?
Do you get to sleep?
Did it say you get to sleep? No, I know. How did they do it? I don't know. They say that some places still do this practice, but they have railings, and they said they can lean on the railing a little bit. Take little breaks, but they don't have a nice, 11 hours sleep like all of you get, right? they would not get to have a nice night's sleep. So they would keep walking. And your mind changes, right? If you do that, right? So with the body moving and with the mouth, Namo Amida Butsu. The whole time, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. Constant Nembutsu, walking with your mind, thinking about Amida Buddha, thinking about Amida Buddha. And Juri says that you can, it's okay if you want to think about the Buddha and then say the Buddha's name, or say the Buddha's name and then think about the Buddha. But constantly, these three things, these are the three aspects of activity, the three aspects of karma, are your actions, your physical actions, your words, and your mind. All of this focused on the Buddha for 3 months, 90 days. So Shinran, being a monk at a place that did these practices, must have done this many, many times over the course of that 20 years that he spent there. He did this many times. Don't you think you would get enlightened if you did this again and again? That's the idea. But you know what Shinran found? That he didn't get enlightened. He didn't get enlightened. So he began to think, maybe there's something else I should be doing. Maybe there's some other practice. And so he went to a special temple. He left Mount Hiei and he went to look, just as he'd had that special teacher, one of his senior monks there, giving him guidance and support while he was doing these practices, this 90-day retreat. He said, I need to find a different teacher, I think. So he went to a temple called the Rokkakudo Temple. Remember, we talked about this a little bit earlier this month. And he went to that temple and he said, well, when I go to a temple and I look for guidance, I do a retreat. So I'm going to go to this Rokkakudo Temple this time for 100 days. 100 days. And my teacher is going to be Kannon Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara. And this temple, Rokkakudo Temple, was said to have a very close connection with this bodhisattva. There was an image of that bodhisattva there, Kannon Bodhisattva, the bodhisattva of compassion, Amida Buddha's right-hand companion. And then also Prince Shotoku. Just we have Shinran Shonin is here, and just to the right of Shinran Shonin, there's a statue of a man. He has long hair and pigtails, but he's a man. That was the style back then. Prince Shotoku lived at the end of the 6th century. So he lived from 567 to 622. So he lived around the year 600. So many, many years ago. But Prince Shotoku was the person who people think he was the one who brought Buddhism to Japan. And so for Japanese people, even today, people think Prince Shotoku is an embodiment. He's Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva who came into our world to help everybody. So Shinran goes to this temple. He spends 100 days meditating. 100 days, that's right, meditating on Prince Shotoku, meditating on Avalokiteshvara, asking for guidance. What should I do? Who should be my new teacher? Who should be my new teacher? And he does this day after day, until on the 95th day, he's resting, he nods off, he falls asleep, and he has a dream. And in this dream, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva appears before him, and gives him guidance. Avalokiteshvara says, if you should have the circumstances to get married and have a wife, that I will become that wife and I will guide you to birth in the Pure Land, right? Monks aren't supposed to get married. That's one of the rules that they're supposed to obey. Monks aren't supposed to get married. So, well, that's very strange. And then the next part of his dream, he sees himself standing on the edge of a temple, on the edge of the balcony of a temple, looking out and speaking to a large audience of all different kinds of people, rich people and poor people, samurai warriors and commoners, all different kinds of people. And he wakes up from this dream and he realizes, now I know who to go to, who to go to as my teacher. Now I need to go find Honen Shonin. Honen Shonin. So he goes to Yoshimizu, which is where Honen Shonin was living at the time, and he says, I'm going to spend 100 days with Honen Shonin. Right? So he has this idea of concentrating and doing these periods of practice, right? Honen Shonin is there on the very far left scroll. There are seven small portraits, and the lower right one, the one that's kind of all black, that's Honen Shonin. So we remember these people who are very important to Shinran Shonin by putting their pictures up here on this shrine area. They're all guiding us to birth in the Pure Land, right? So when Shinran Shonin went to visit Honen Shonin, after these periods of concentration, he saw very clearly what he needed to do. So he calmed his mind, and then he received this insight. What should I do? I should go and study with Honen. So next week, we'll talk about the wisdom that he received from Honen Shonin. So this month, we remember the life of Shinran Shonin, and we remember these things that were very important to him and that enabled him to become the wonderful teacher he became, who then shared this teaching of the Nembutsu with us. In the spirit of that and in the spirit of Shinran's practices and his attainment of deep concentration and his attainment of deep entrusting in Amida Buddha, let us once again hear these words of Shinran Shonin. Please join me in Gassho. Single-heartedly practicing, saying the name of Amida alone, whether walking, standing, sitting, or reclining, without regard to the length of time and without abandoning it from moment to moment. This is called the act of true settlement, for it is in accord with the Buddha's vow. Tada hitosuji ni Amida Butsu no myōgo o tonaeru no dearu. いつかいつ、いかなる時も、また時の長短を問わず、他力役行の念仏を行じるのを諸成就という阿弥陀仏の本願に従うからであると。
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Am